worried that this
strike... They have the capital to settle this thing.
Are you worried that this strike is going to hurt the everyday American, the farmers that need to reach the export market? They're telling me that they're going
to
hurt
them. Now you start to realize who the longshoremen are, right?
Nobody cares.
People never gave a about us until now, when they finally realized that the chain is being broke now. Cars won't come in. Food won't come in. Clothing won't come in. You know how many people depend on our jobs? Half the world. And it's time for them and time for Washington to put so much pressure on them to take care of us, because we took care of them and we're here 135 years and brought them where they are today, and they don't want to share.
So that's the longshoreman guy who's, I, you know what? I don't have anything nice to say and I'm ready to throw stuff. Just welcome to the radio program. Radio program. Dana Loesch with you at the top of this first hour. This is the guy who is all over, video all over, who has all of this. He's been giving these interviews. He's head of the Longshoremen's Association because, as you know, the strike began today. The strike began today, and it's projected to be absolutely catastrophic for the American economy. I read that for every one day that, and these are the ports on the eastern side of everything, I read that for every one day that the ports are shut down, it like puts us 7 days behind. Did you read that? That's what I read. That's insane. I don't even know what to make of that. And so for every one day we are down. That's seven extra days that we are behind. And in addition to the what I've been seeing described as biblically catastrophic devastation coming from the hurricane and the pursuant mudslides and storms and flooding and everything else, this is like the worst time. I just want to scream, can we read the room? And we're going to talk a lot more about this because holy cow, we got a lot set up. I mean, it's a lot. I was looking at how many construction supplies, for instance, come through these ports, because you would think that construction supplies, I had one smart ass on social media telling me, well, you know, I don't think construction supplies, I'm going to tell you to do something unflattering to yourself if you try to argue with me on this, an ungodly amount, because we outsource all of our damn manufacturing comes in from overseas. If there's ever a more timely argument for making our manufacturing more domesticated, then this is it. If it wasn't the pandemic, then it's this. I mean, it's just asinine. So an ungodly amount comes in from this, from these eastern seaports. And now it's not the western ports, and we've talked about that before. It's not these western ports. Those have a separate contract and a separate union. And a year ago, they had their whole thing. They did their whole contract negotiation, etc. All of that like a year ago. But I was reading on this, just some of the stuff that where it concerns, like for instance, cement, concrete, artificial stone. We imported over $3 billion of those materials. That was last year. It was much higher. It was $3 billion worth, and it was higher than the $285 million worth exported. I mean, it's really kind of nuts how much this is, how much comes in over there in wood. In wood, the U.S. imported more wood construction materials than it exported. Plywood, veneered panel, builder's joinery were the most imported types. Iron and steel. U.S. imports construction products. That's for all kinds of iron and steel. Well, we know a lot about that, the steel stuff anyway, because we've had tariffs. We've tried to make it to where... We have to compete with all these other countries that put an exorbitant amount of tariffs on us, and they tax our goods coming in. So we're trying to make it somewhat, you know, an even playing field. So we've talked about the steel. This, I mean, I was actually shocked at the amount of construction materials that we import in. An ungodly amount. an ungodly amount. And so when you look at all of the devastation caused by this hurricane, I want to go back to just all the stuff that I just told you about. All of that stuff that you have to import in. Now you consider how that's going to work out. You consider how that's going to work out for all of these people in these devastated areas. It's disastrous, and it's going to be made even more disastrous now. We're going to talk more about this here coming up because we also have a debate tonight, the vice presidential debate. Are you ready, Kane? I'm not doing bingo because I'd rather open my veins up in both arms.
What? Steve, note that.
I would. I would rather do that. I'd rather jam splinters into my eyes. I'd rather jump off my roof and break my legs to nubbins. I'd rather open the veins up in my arms. I'd rather listen to Green Day than watch one second to engage longer than I have to with this debate. It's not like that. You know why? Because I can't stand Tim Walz. Personally, I have never come across another politician that I actually just in the fiber of my soul don't like. There is something about this guy that screams jackass.
I'm with you on that part. The only other part that brings me joy is over the past, I don't know, a couple few months, ever since J.D. Vance was announced as Trump's VP pick, he's been surgical with a lot of the left-leaning media, and it's been glorious to watch. I've seen him in past debates as a senator, and he's done really well. I'm actually excited to see him dismantle Tim Walz calmly, as he's done.
I almost don't give a rat's backside because we got people stuck in trees in Asheville. I don't want a giant, you know, circle, ego, self-flattering contest with these cats. I didn't want to say the word I wanted to say.
I'm not sure you heard what I was saying, but I'm just excited to see the vice president, Trump's vice president pick, take apart Tim Walz. You don't like Tim Walz so much, so you should probably enjoy that.
Yeah, I should. Yeah, I should. So, I don't know. I'm not a fan of this guy. I'm not a fan of him at all. I don't like his demeanor. I don't like his demeanor. I don't like his attitude. But listen to this. Audio soundbite 3. He's running from reporters as he heads in for the debate. Listen to this. Audio soundbite 3.
This morning. So you do what Kamala did.
Yeah. Yeah, he's running away, running up the stairs. I mean, of course he is. Of course he's running up the stairs. I mean, you honestly expect this guy to... No, you don't. You don't at all. So I don't know. That's I don't got high hopes for the debate. I can't stand him. I can't stand his wife. She seems like a psycho. I don't like any of these people. I don't like him. He's a jerk. He's a jerk. He knows nothing about governance. He knows nothing about it. I just am not a fan of this guy. I'm not a fan of him. He hasn't given one interview. He hasn't given one interview. So I don't know. I'm not a fan of it. I don't even like his. I mean, just I'm not a. Just the whole thing. So anyway, we're gonna see. They're gonna sit here and battle it out. And I'm just not in the mood to go. Oh, that's a great hot take. Oh, good, Mr. Candidate. I like your answer. I'm just not in a mood for it because there are people who are literally lost everything in multiple states. Multiple southern states. And the press doesn't give a tar about it because it's southern states. And they're typically red, so they don't care. Is that me being mean? Because I feel like it's me being honest. I just don't care about the shallowness of it all. I don't care about this shallow, stupid debate. Are we honestly going to learn anything from this? No, you're not. Everybody's just going to just watch somebody get their punches in. That's it. We're not going to learn a stupid thing. It's just an ego. It's an exercise in ego fellation. this is doesn't serve the people at all. You're going to be hearing a bunch of stupid questions from a bunch of brain dead anchors on, and they're not even going to cover the stuff that we actually care about. So I don't care about this debate. It's stupid. It's pointless. It's a dumb exercise for a shallow, vapid, soulless society, and it's measured on television. Go to hell. There you go.
Well, happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday, indeed.
Everybody.
But my thing is, if you don't watch it, you're only going to see what the mainstream media digests to
you're
you.
You're going to see what they digest to you anyway.
No, I get that. But my point is, you seeing the whole thing at least opens your eyes more to the deception.
I'd rather whip myself with cat of nine tails.
Good Lord.
I'd rather fall down stone steps after stepping on Legos.
There's no pulling you out of this.
I'd rather have alcohol poisoning due to moonshine.
Good Lord.
All these things.
I'm not sure I'd feel the same way.
No, I do. I think I'd rather
watch the debate than do all those horrible things you just talked about.
No, because nothing's going to be. I mean, when I said, by the way, listening to Green Day is worse than all of those things.
Yeah.
I mean, I immediately went right
surprised
there as though you know.
One.
I don't know. I just feel like I'm not in a mood for the debate because I have zero expectations. I have been to multiple debates. I have watched more debates than I can think of. I've seen it all. I've never learned anything new. Either my like is maybe slightly rewarded of a candidate or my dislike of a candidate is confirmed further. It's just a confirmation bias exercise. So I don't know. That's kind of how I look at this. I look at it like that. And I wish that I'm not into rewarding the Republican Party for stupid stuff that they should be able to do easily. And that's defend your ideas, especially in front of someone who is such a stupid Marxist that he lied about being in Hong Kong during the Tiananmen Square massacre. That's the other thing. This guy lies about everything on God's green earth. You know he lied about something else now. That's where we're at. Listen to this. I don't mean to be so cranky today, but I do. I'm cranky because all of these, I just feel so bad for these people in these southern states, and we got this stupid political stuff happening. And where's Biden and Harris? You got Florida that's like doing the job of all these other federal folks. I think Trump opened a GoFundMe. Where's everybody else? Where are these stooges? Where are the stooges in D.C.? Where's Miss Doritos? I'm going to go to my fancy Vegas fundraiser. Where I'm going to sit with my skinny white chicken legs on the beach with my mouth gaping open to catch flies, Biden. Where are these people at? I got nicknames for everybody today. Come at me. But you got Tim Walz, who literally lied about being in Hong Kong during the Tiananmen Square massacre. He lied about it. That's a new big story over at the Free Beacon. He lied his McLean face off. What does this guy not lie about? Every little thing that this guy lies about, he lies about the stupidest things, and then it becomes something bigger. And the more little things that he lies about, it just becomes like part of his like record. It's asinine. I've never seen anything like this. Oh, and then here's the other thing that's making me really upset today. I swear I'm going to give you some goofy stuff, but I got to get all this out of my chest. If you've wondered why maybe FEMA isn't operating at peak level, maybe it's because under their strategic plan, as goal number one, they have, quote, instill equity as a foundation of emergency management. I need a stress ball. I need the little thing where you squeeze it and its eyes pop out of its little rubbery head. I need that, especially today. I'm not even kidding you. They get into equity. This is FEMA. We're going to talk about all of this. Yeah, how long does it take to separate victims by race? I haven't even gotten started. We got this. We're pre-gaming the debate. We got a lot of stuff. I can't carry everywhere I would like to carry because we got some dummies out there who think that signs are going to protect you. Oh, I got a gun-free zone sign here. You're magically protected. Like it puts up some sort of invisible Klingon shield around the whole premises, which as we all know, it does not. So in those instances, when you are barred from carrying, you would like to have another option, would you not? So this is where the burner gun comes in. Burner gun is a different type of non-firearm. It shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can disable threats from like 50 feet away. And they have a bunch of different models. The Burner SD is the most popular model that they have. In fact, I got a couple of friends who live in DC and New York that got the Burner SD because they didn't want to be turned into statistics by their state. And it is, the Byrna SD is the best-selling self-defense option. There's no background checks. There's no waiting periods. It's legal in all 50 states. It ships right to your front porch. And like I said, five-round capacity on this Byrna SD. Stun guns, you got one or two shots. Byrna, you got five. Chemical irritant projectiles, and it, like I said, it'll disable a threat from up to 50 feet away. Learn more about the Byrna gun. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off of your purchase. That's BYRNA. Check out your less, check out these other options that you have, right? These less restricted options that the state can't bar you from taking at Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off.
Right now, is Kamala trying to earn the dumb vote? Kamala Harris is pitching $25,000 for first-time homebuyers while trying to build millions of new homes with government funds, all while using small businesses as straw men.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so first up, saltwater is making electric cars blow up after Hurricane Helene. Yay, EVs. EVs are great. We love EVs, said no one ever. Burn them all. Burn them all. So the saltwater is getting in there. And it's getting into the battery components in the EVs, and it's leading to dangerous chemical reactions that no one ever thought could happen. No one ever thought that could possibly happen. People who have left electric vehicles behind when they evacuated, they're being urged to contact local emergency services. Don't get in the car. Could blow up like Godfather 2. Don't do it. According to police, hurricane looters are hitting, of all the places, the Trump merch store. Like, what are you getting, though? Like, really? I mean, you got to, they're going for LGB, let's go Brandon, shirts. The Trump 24 banners and stickers, fight, fight. Like, people are literally, this is over at Smoking Gun. So there's, like, actual photos, there's mugshots. These two old dudes who look like they were found in the bottom of a meth pipe, they were arrested. People are literally looting it, though. And this is in the Tampa Bay area that they were doing this. Let's see here. Got a couple. Oh, I want to get to the cheese one. Apparently, some mummy, almost 4,000-year-old mummy, was found with some neck cheese. Oh, God. Kefir cheese. It looks like actually somebody who would shop at H&M, a Zoomer, and they're wearing neck cheese. They had too much Ozempic, and they had some neck cheese around them. And I'll save this one for next headlines. We got a lot coming up. Stick with us. Never be caught off guard. Always be ready with ReadyWise. See, ReadyWise is there like being ready for you even when you're not ready, right? They're ready. And they have a long shelf life too, 25-year shelf life. So you're going to have it when you need it. And this is all USA ingredients packed at a state-of-the-art USA plant. You know, the chain of command for all of your food, which I think that's important to me. And I can't say that about every other survival food company that's out there, but ReadyWise, you can. These are premium survival meals. So you can visit ReadyWise.com, use promo code Dana20 at checkout, and save 20% off of any regularly priced item. They also have a buy one, get one on a 72-hour food kit, $100 in value for $50. That includes two boxes, 12 pouches of premium survival food, and you have more than enough calories in every single box. Essential comfort in a crisis. You're going to have meals to sustain you and your family in tough times, no matter if it's the weather that goes sideways, politics that goes sideways, whatever it is. So make sure you visit ReadyWise.com. Use promo code Dana20 at checkout for 20% off any regularly priced item. That's ReadyWise.com, promo code Dana20 for 20% off.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let me explain something to you. These people today don't know what a strike is.
Right.
When my men hit the streets from Maine to Texas, every single port will lock down. You know what's going to happen? I'll tell you. First week, be all over the news every night, boom, boom. Second week, guys who sell cars can't sell cars because the cars ain't coming in off the ships. They get laid off. Third week, malls start closing down. They can't get the goods from China. They can't sell clothes. They can't do this. Everything in the United States comes on a ship. They go out of business. Construction workers get laid off because the materials aren't coming in. The steel's not coming in. The lumber's not coming in. They lose their job. Everybody's hating the longshoremen now because now they realize how important our jobs are. Now I have the president screaming at me, I'm putting a Taft Hartley on you. Go ahead. Taft Hartley means I have to go back to work for 90 days. That's a cooling off period. Do you think when I go back for 90 days, those men are going to go to work on that pier? It's going to cost the money, the company's money to pay their salaries. Well, they went from 30 moves an hour maybe to 8. They're going to be like this. Who's going to win here in the long run? You're better off sitting down and let's get a contract and let's move on with this world. And in today's world, I'll cripple you. I will cripple you. And you have no idea.
You know, I think the gold chain and that nugget ring really, it's a nice touch. You know, the gold chain and the nugget ring just really make it such a nice, they add such a nice touch to the whole vignette there, don't they? I do believe they do. Welcome back to the program. Dana Loesch with you. Channel 347 DirecTV, also Rumble, where the chat happens. And X, that's the head of the longshoremen's group, Daggett, Harold Daggett. He's like, I will cripple you. I'll cripple, talking about this strike. Again, I mean, that's why Jay-Z's Big Pimpin' was so apropos there, because, you know, you got mudded out roads. You know, you got down power lines. You got buildings you got to rebuild, but you don't got no materials. You know, Big Pimpin' here, Captain McGoldchain, he needs a new gold nugget on his finger. So sucks for you. And I can say that because that man makes big fat bank. You want to know how much money that man brings in? This is the thing that amazes me. It's like waiting for Lefty gone wrong. When the little guy fights the big guy oppressing him and then he becomes the big guy to oppress others. I don't dislike unions. I dislike some of these union bosses, though, because they're always in Democrats' back pocket. I've never understood that. How you got to have a union boss who literally votes for the party that sends your jobs overseas? How are you having a union boss that fights against things like by the way he votes, bringing manufacturing home, having more manufacturing based here in the US of A? I will never understand that. It's like chickens voting for Colonel Sanders. I will never get it in all of my life. And I come from, look, I don't need to measure my bona fides against anybody. I come from a Southern Missouri union family. I just don't get it. Why do you sit here and vote for the very thing that is your detriment, that is your peril, that is antithetical to you living your best life? I just don't get it. And this guy, I mean, read the damn room, Gold Nugget. Read the room. You got a natural disaster in a number of these states. Kate, how are they describing it? Biblical proportions. The disaster. Biblical proportions. And then this is happening. I mean, it's a major natural disaster. And Captain Goldchain is demanding a 77% raise, plus they want a cut of the containers. You know that, right? That's what they're demanding. Someone told me, well, you know, what unions are a service. That's what they're asking for. No, no, no. This is 77% raise plus a percentage of the containers. That's not a service. That's a stick up. And they want a full on ban on any and all automation of ports. You know that, right? That's part of the demand. Full ban on automation. Full ban. So, sure, let's just refuse to automate our ports and have the United States fall behind every other nation in that regard. Instead of, I don't know, maybe like working on a plan to grow technology while integrating existing jobs. No, we'll just have a full-on ban plus a 77% raise and a percentage of every container that comes in. Again, that ain't a service. That's a stick up. And it is true. They are demanding for a total ban on any and all automation. Now, not every port has a ban on automation. Some of them, like on the West Coast, they got what they call automation assist. So it's not full automation, but they require assistance. And so they're integrating jobs in. They're not banning it. They're making sure that their jobs are on pace with their tech. I have less of a problem with that. I have a major problem with, well, let's ban all the automation. It's like McDonald's going, no, we're not going to. We're going to demand $50,000 an hour for the people who just ring out your fries. A job's a job, and there's no shame in a job, but there is shame in demanding more and trying to hold a whole country hostage by demanding more than what the service is worth according to how the market supports it. And to try to kneecap with tech. I mean, they want a total ban of automation, not a partial. I'm reading it. Total ban. It's on their website, their list of demands, their whole manifesto. Now, the saying that, and they've been, you know, they've been criticized for it, because what you do is you make it to where you're globally uncompetitive. We don't need the U.S. falling behind in that regard. So I don't know. I mean, I'm looking at, you might want to get some things. I don't know how long it's going to last, but, you know, and as I was saying, this guy, let me pull this up, because this is the other thing. How much money did this dude make? This is what you always got the little guys and the big guys, right? Little guys and the big guys. And that's like the classic story of little guy worker. And, you know, the old play Waiting for Lefty with the reason, you know, people started organizing. You got the big guy pressing the little guy. But then what happens when the little guy becomes a big guy and starts oppressing other little guys? That's the thing. This guy, Daggett, he banked just last year alone. He got paid over $1 million. Over $1 million last year. Well over $1 million for his total pay. It was $1,049,416 approximately. This is according to publicly available records. Because of the ILA Local 18041. Then you got the International Longshoremen's Association headquarters. Their paid secretary treasurer. They paid their secretary treasurer, Stephen Knotts, over $500,000. He ended up just shy of $800,000 for last year alone. Daggett's son, you know, because we don't have a monarchy, but we do. Daggett's son. Isn't that nice? We keeping that nepotism in the family, just thus defining nepotism. We keeping it in the family. Harold Daggett's son, Dennis, he got paid almost $700,000 last year. That's a nice check. He's the executive vice president of ILA. And then, that's right, Daggett's other son. Well, he's got his family set up real nice, doesn't he? Real nice. Wouldn't you like to have your boys set up like this? I got boys. I'd love to have my boys set up like this. Each of these boys is getting over $500,000 in pay. Huh. He's also, his son John works for the union too. Well, isn't that something? He got paid $642,631. And there's a picture of him holding a sign saying profit over people is unacceptable. And he was at a Democrat event. Isn't that interesting? Profit over people. What do you do? Well, he is the head of the local. He's the VP of ILA Local 18041. And he's a general VP of the ILA Atlantic Coast District. That's what he does. How dare you ask him? So that's nice. The whole family of Daggetts are all set up, aren't they? Isn't that something? That family's getting millions of dollars from the longshoremen. Do y'all know that? But they will cripple you. And then you got the paid general VP, Wilbert Rowell. Well, in 2023, he made over $804,000. John Baker. He's the International Longshoremen's Association headquarters. He's a general organizer. All in all, he ended up, he got $627,761 in 23. And all the 22 unions, because the union has 22 vice presidents. Isn't that something? 22 vice presidents. Just on that, because they have multiple tasks, they have multiple titles, and you get a check, a six-figure check per title, right? So the union VP title, they all got paid almost $200,000. You want me to keep going? These people are making fat bank. Got the assistant general organizer. He got over $500,000. You got this guy. He's the, another general organizer. He got $762,462. I mean, I can keep going if y'all want. Upper management's getting their checks. What's the wages of the folks they're out there supposedly advocating for? Is what I want to know. I mean, I'm looking at these guys, and I don't think any one of these damn men who are making six figures have lifted anything heavier than a cardboard box that's empty. If I had to make a guess. But, you know, they will cripple you if you don't give them what they want. Do you think, Kane, that their wages go up if they get this 77% demand and a percentage of the containers and a ban on all automation?
What, the average worker?
No. Oh. Let's be real. If this were about the average worker, they would have accepted the 50% increase and they wouldn't be doing this stuff now. Exactly. They also probably wouldn't be making a six-figure check per title that they got.
Exactly.
So do you think that their wages, these management wages, are going to go up?
Oh, the answer would be hell yes.
I wonder how much of that cut they're actually going to get. I love the way that they present this. Like, oh, you individually are going to be getting a cut of this container. Like hell, you ain't getting nothing. They will cripple you. Who talks like that? Representing the little guy? Because see, what you're talking about is putting all these other people out of business. They were offered a 50% raise. They were offered a bunch of stuff, but they wanted a 77% raise plus cuts of every container that came across. And they wanted a full ban on all automation. Now think for a moment about all the businesses that are going to be affected. Think about construction. I just went over with you last break or last segment. What all you get iron and steel, which, you know, I agree with you. We should have all this should be made in the US of A, but it's not. And until it is, this is what we got. We imported more wood construction materials than we exported. Concrete, cement, artificial stone. We imported $3 billion worth of these materials. Now, until we get to the time, and we can sit here and play footsie with that supposed what if all we want to, until we get to the time where we actually can manufacture more of our own stuff, we got to import it in. What's that going to do to all the smaller, what's that going to do to the construction businesses and the workers that work for those construction businesses? What is that going to do for steel workers? What is it going to do for the welders, and what is it going to do for all of these other jobs that rely on these materials coming through? They're not getting a 77% pay increase for being put out of work. They're not getting a cut of those containers for being put out of work. Hell, I doubt that even their union bosses make a fraction of what these union bosses make. Has anybody ever made a union against the union bosses, the workers? It makes you wonder. I just listen to guys like that. I've been around them my whole life. I got some of them in my family. I've been around them forever. I listen to these guys and I'm like, you don't represent the average everyman. I know you. I see you. I know you very well. You don't represent the average man going out there with your gold chain and your big ass gold rings on your fat sausage fingers. You do not represent the average man. Those average men aren't taking home the pay you're taking home. They don't got their sons set up in these sweet jobs with these sweet checks and these sweet benefits and these pensions and everything else that you secured for your family. What about everybody else's family? Oh, they're just pieces on the board to you. If your approach to everyday aches and pains is to mask them, you know, feel better for a few hours or only have the pain return and then repeat the cycle all over again, it's time to try Relief Factor. And the good news is that Relief Factor makes that easy. Their 3-week quick start is just $19.95, less than a dollar a day. Instead of masking pain, Relief Factor helps eliminate it. It's a unique formula of ingredients that helps support your body's response to inflammation. And Relief Factor was developed by doctors. It's 100% drug-free, and for so many many people, the results are game-changing, even life-changing. Chris, my husband, raves about Relief Factor. So whether you're a cyclist, a hiker, you know, an athlete from your college days or high school, maybe you're just active now, Relief Factor supports inflammation reduction and joint health. Try it today. Visit ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. See in how just a few weeks or even days, Relief Factor can reduce your pain. And then you feel better, and then life is just better. So don't mask pain. Fight it naturally with Relief Factor.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
I hear you're reacting, but in terms of being proactive, was the federal government adequately prepared for this?
We were. The extent of devastation is very, very difficult to predict. No one expected Hurricane Helene to actually traverse the amount of land it has indeed covered, but we are responding accordingly. We have been speaking about the need to prepare for extreme weather events.
No one could anticipate that the hurricane would do like hurricane things and traverse the water and bring with it winds and water like hurricanes do. No one expected that. And so he's like, you remember Wooly Willy Kane?
Wooly Willy?
Yeah. You remember that? They still got him for sale at Walmart. Remember Wooly Willy?
I don't remember Wooly Willy.
Sometimes I would take. So if you don't know what Wooly Willy is because you're a Zoomer, Wooly Willy was it was a board that was magnetic, and you would get these like iron powder things.
Oh, yeah. Is that
things,
what they called that?
And you would use this, the pin, a little magnet pin stick, and you would drag the little iron shavings on his face and make facial hair. I used to always get my Wooly Willy crazy eyebrows. And I just now realized where I've seen, Mayorkas before. He's my Wooly Willy. That is my Wooly Willy with the crazy eyebrows. I made him and he came to life. I'm sorry about that. It's all my fault. Damn you, Dana, and your Wooly Willy. Tell you what. Man, we got so much. We got missiles going into Israel. We got all kinds of stuff with the strike. We got the debate tonight. I mean, it's just kicking off. So get some wine, popcorn, soda, whatever. Pull up a chair. Black Rifle Coffee has the best beans. They get the best beans around the world from award-winning coffee farms, and they bring them back to their U.S. facilities, veteran-owned, veteran-run, and they roast them 5 days a week. Now, if you have a coffee fan or if you are a coffee fan, treat yourself. Get yourself a Complete Mission Fuel Kit Variety Sampler. And it comes with all my favorites, AK-47 Espresso, the Just Black, the Silencer Smooth, the Beyond Black. Every flavor is amazing. I mean, it's just the best way to go. Now, the kit comes in the textured variety, but you can get of these coffees, of these roasts, whole bean, K-cups, ready to drink, the whole nine yards. You can also join the coffee club, and you can pick your roast or roasts, if there's several. Choose how often you want it delivered, and it shows up with free shipping on your doorstep, which is awesome. And you can also find apparel, kettles, grinders, mugs, and so much more on the website. So don't forget, it's that Complete Mission Fuel Kit Variety Sampler. You can save 20%. Using code Dana. So make sure you check it out. It's that, again, the Complete Mission Fuel Kit Variety Sampler at blackriflecoffee.com. Order it today and get 20% off using code Dana. Welcome to the program. Your lovable curmudgeon here with you at the top of the second hour. It's one of those news days. Yesterday was real kind of, you know, I mean, we were watching the storm and we're still watching the aftermath of Helene. We got some updates and headlines for you on that. We also have all hell breaking loose in the Middle East because it's going crazy with Lebanon and Israel because it's Hezbollah and fighting Israel, who's been defending itself because Iran threw Hezbollah and Hamas. Hezbollah from the north, Hamas from the south have been attacking Israel nonstop. Israel's defending itself. Today, we're just a week away from the 1 year observance of October 7th. And the Iron Dome's working overtime. Now, I will say, from what I understand, I don't think that the dome intercepts ICBMs. So, and I don't know if that area, because if missiles that, one of the things that the dome does and the way that it operates, from what I understand from a friend who's in IDF, was that if it's like a less populated open area, that is not as covered as the more populated areas by the dome, if that makes sense. So I don't know if that's like an open area that there's a lot of videos spreading online. And I don't know if that's one of those open areas or not. So just be really careful. We're in a really weird news cycle, and I really want to caution you guys. Normally, I mean, I can count on one hand the number of times I said, I really need you to listen to me, because I don't like to tell people what to do. I got my own life. But I am going to tell you this. Take a beat before you believe something online right now. Especially right now. Not every time, but right now. It's October 1st. We are mere weeks away from the general election. Early voting's underway. We are in the territory of the October surprise. We have hostilities in the Middle East with our only ally in the Middle East. You can say you can dislike the way their government runs or what, it's our only ally in the Middle East. We've got a strike here at home that's going to affect domestic issues. We have a major natural disaster in a number of states because of Hurricane Helene. People are dead. People are broke with inflation. We're in a really sketchy time right now. And with all the breaking news due to the strike, due to the war with Israel that Iran is hell-bent on, and due to the aftermath of the hurricane, there will be a lot of fast and furious reports and takes thrown your way. It can be overwhelming. So I caution you, take a beat before you believe what you read. I try not to contribute to that noise. I don't put stuff up online, if you've ever noticed. I'm not one of those people that puts all that stupid clickbait up. We ended up bringing up some real awesome folks that help us with our social media, and we all had meetings, and they're not like that anyway, but I was really clear. I'm like, I don't put up stupid clickbait. It's not who I am. I don't care if it costs me traffic, because that's what everybody's into now. Got to get clicks, got to get traffic. I don't care about that. Because the one thing that lasts longer and is more valuable is the respect and the trust of your audience. And when you lose that because you're razzle-dazzling them with clicks that you think are going to fill up something in the short term, well, that doesn't help anybody. It doesn't help you, doesn't help them, it doesn't help anybody at large. So you're going to get a lot of stuff that'll be thrown at you because we're in that weird time. Just take a beat before you believe what you read. And like I said, I will not contribute. I'm not going to contribute to that stuff. What I put up is stuff that I have read and stuff that I have verified. And if I put up something that I'm maybe researching and maybe I hit a wall and I'm asking a question about it, that's the only time. It's me asking a question, and I make clear that I'm not speculating. But I don't want to contribute to any of that stuff. So I will be straight no chaser with you. So just take a beat before you believe it. Now, the other thing I see, and I got all kinds of people asking me this. Oh, my gosh, Dana, should I stock up on all these things? I see crazy stuff on social media. Well, my first thought is, and I thought you were a prepper. That was my first thought whenever I see this stuff. I'm like, if you got to stock up on this stuff, then you have not been prepared, have you? I never worry about this stuff. I literally am always prepared. I have a bug out bag 24/7, and that's just not me being weird. It's just me being always ready to rock. That makes me feel more comfortable and relaxed. When I'm always ready to rock, I feel more comfortable and relaxed because I have faith in my ability to rock. See what I'm saying? So I see these people sharing the stuff on social media like, you better go stock up on them. I'm like, how are you not? I got my ReadyWise stuff. I got tons of bottled water. Not like I need it. I'm just always, don't freak yourself out over stuff. Do not. Because first off, that's the most stupidest mindset you could ever have. Calmest person in the room always figures their way out of any situation. And it's the calmest person and the coolest head that always prevails. So you don't need to be reacting to all this stuff. You know your area, you know your community, you can read the room, you can read the temperature. Just chill. Because people, there are so many different factions at play here that want to get you all worked up. They want to get you stressed out, freaked out. They want you bugged out. They want you nervous and anxious and unsure and on weird footing. You do not owe anyone your peace. And you do not know anyone your emotional stability. So just take a beat, and you don't have to read it. Make fun of it. That's what I do. I see these people freaking out. I'm like, you fake prepper. I actually had a friend that shared something on Facebook, and I literally was like, you, well, I can't say what I messaged them. I was like, you fake blank prepper. They were like, what? I'm like, I can't even believe it. Half my pantry is a preparedness pantry. It's a matter of the, my dog is even prepared. I haven't got my dog, dude, I got my dog prepared. That's how crazy it is. That's how I just, it's not crazy. It's just me all the time. And I don't even need missiles falling from the sky in Israel or a strike looming. I just always assume if you just, I don't know, you grow up poor. You know what I mean? When you grow up a poor kid in a poor part of town, you just always want to be prepared. You know what I'm saying? So it's just a lifestyle, Kane. It's a lifestyle, it is, right? It is. It's poor chic, man. It's a lifestyle. Like, we save things. Like, you need a safety pin? I got you. You know, you need, like, little scraps of this and that? I got you. I'm like an old lady. I save everything. I'm prepared. There you go. But I'm not a hoarder. All right. So, a few things happening. We got the debate tonight. We got the live rockets over Israel. I don't know if that's going to be up in the debate or not. But they have that, they have Iran. Now, this would be a big deal if it was Iran that's doing it, because normally they always use their proxies, as you guys know. We've talked about that before. They always use their proxies. And so we're gonna keep an eye on it. But apparently it's being reported that it is Iran that's launching that missile attack. And apparently there was a terrorist attack in Tel Aviv. And this is, and I know there's, I'm looking at, because we got a lot of this stuff that's breaking now, but they said 400 ballistic missiles launched so far at Israel from Iran, direct hits in Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, Ahad HaSharon, Beersheba, no reports of injuries yet. And then there is the report of a terror attack in Tel Aviv, multiple casualties, 10 Israelis wounded, 4 critically. It looked like it was a terrorist attack. We can't play any of this footage because there's a lot of, there's just a, it's a, it's, some of it's pretty grim. So I think you all got enough on your brains today. Just, it's bad. That's all you need to know. It was in Jaffa, a central city in central Israel, right there on the boundary of Tel Aviv. So they had fatalities there as well. Now I'm looking at all of this and I'm thinking, you know, this was, it's Israel defending itself and they're being told they can't. Where are all of the, by the way, where's the ceasefire people? Where are the ceasefire people at? Where are all the ceasefire folks telling Iran to cease fire? Where are the de-escalation folks? Anybody know? Kane, got any idea on them de-escalation folks?
Yeah, I don't know. If they're pro-Palestinian or pro-Hamas, I guess they're pretty silent at the moment.
Yeah, I'd just like to know where they're at. It'd be nice.
And can I note, too, that...
Yeah, sure. Go right ahead and note
it. All of these... back in 2020, when Democrats were campaigning against Trump, they were saying that Trump would get us in all these wars, remember? And even 2016, they were saying the same thing, that all that unrest around the world would happen if Trump was elected. Well, now we have 4 years of Democrats in office, and looks like they've had a lot of wars.
You know, I'll say this. One of the things I liked about having Trump in office is because he's a loose cannon with a big mouth and an itchy finger. Yeah. Little itchy button pushing finger. I kind of want my president to seem like he's crazy. I'm not going to lie to you. I've said this before, and here's why. Just don't pass judgment on me. Hear me out, for the love. I can hear some people going, Daniel, that's not... Shh. I want people to think my president is crazy, and here's why. I especially want tyrants to think, that guy could be crazier than me. I want them to think that. That sounded like Count Chocula, and I did not mean for that to happen, but you get my drift. I want the baddies to be like, he potentially could be a worse baddie. Yep. I want them to think, dude, this guy is nuts and he will murk me off this rock. He may murk my family off this rock. He'll murk my pets, my farms, my goats, everything. I want them to be terrified. I mean, I'm not even against him going, I'm going to press it and then faking everything. I'm not even kidding. I want them to, because it's a great deterrent. If they, look, peace through strength. We live in that kind of world. I get it that Marxist and Marxist adjacent people whose brains are made of cheese and pot, I get it that they think that we live in a kitten and sunshine world and I don't want a leader like that. Everybody should get along and we should live in peace and sunshine and it should rain gumdrops and the roads should be made of rainbow kisses. That's what everything's like that. We love it. This kitten and little kitten and sunshine world. Yeah, we don't live in that kind of world. Get the hell up. We don't live in that kind of world. You have brutal people that only understand brutality. If you have a brute that only understands brutishness and they've only practiced brutality for decades upon decades and their forebears only practiced brutality for decades upon decades and their forebears and their, now it's turning into a Wrigley commercial and their forebears or a Pantene when you give it to all your friends. You're not going to sit here and think you're going to solve all these problems by patting them on the back and giving them a hug. It ain't going to work that way. This diplomacy in this fashion has not worked. Israel needs to wipe Iran off of the map if they keep this up. Now, I know the Iranian government doesn't represent their people. Every time their people have tried to rise up, unfortunately, this is what we have. They kill them all. They shoot them from rooftops. They murk them in the street. The Green Revolution was exactly that. Israel needs to just be let loose to do what Israel does, let loose the dogs of war. And that is why war is always a last option, because when you get to that point, well, there are some unfortunate things that go along with war, and it is a consequence of going to war, but it is not a choice that Israel made. It is a choice that their enemies made. So let's let the dogs of war. We got more coming. We got headlines. We got the latest on this. We got a lot of stuff to watch today. We got the debate tonight. It's a busy news day as we move. We got good folks who help bring you free radio. And as we do so, our partners over at Caltech, it's the P15. It's the lightest, thinnest, double-stack 9mm on the market. You've got two versions. You have the polymer version, and you have the metal version. The metal version has the wood grip panels on it. Polymer version, just get the damn gun. You know why? Because it's a nice, concealable gun. It's nice. It's lightweight. It sends with two magazines. One's a 15-round magazine. Standard capacity for the wimps out there. Standard capacity. Minimal pinky extension. The other one's the 12-round. That's flush fit double stack mag that holds 12 rounds. If you want like the ultra concealability, tritium fiber optic front sight. Sweet trigger. I mean, it's a striker fire pistol from the people who literally invented the micro compact pistol category. For the everyman, that's the tiny little teeny witty bitty gun. Okay, you don't lose stopping power. It's a great gun. Get it, because you're probably going to need it if things keep going down this route. You can find it at Caltech. Innovation, performance, Caltech. Great Florida-based company. America needs more companies like them. Find it at KeltechWeapons.com. It's called the P15. That stands for 15 pews, right? Standard capacity pews. KELTEC, weapons.com. Tell them that Dana sent you for the love of all things holy.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
A shock map reveals the surprising states that have the most cocaine users. It's Colorado. I actually am not surprised. 18 and older, 96,000 people have used cocaine within the past year. Who's honest about that, by the way? Like, ring, ring, hello, would you like to take part in our survey? Have you snorted any cocaine?
Well, yes, I snorted a lot of...
Who does that? Yeah, sure have.
I'm from Colorado.
Snorting it right now. Booger sugar. The 96,000 people have used it within the past year, according to the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, or SAMHSA for short. Colorado, followed by Vermont. Vermont. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hold up. Vermont. Like axe cutters and maple syrup.
Yeah.
People with their fall vignettes and the flannel shirts and L.L. Bean people.
Yeah.
Those people.
That's that Vermont.
Wow. Followed by Rhode Island. I would have not had a single one of these on my bingo card for cocaine. I would not have. Golly, that's crazy. Well, I don't know what's happening there, but same. Let's see. Tropical Storm Kirk, who's a real jerk, I hear, forms over Atlantic, and the Atlantic expected to become a major hurricane. Got our eyes on that one. AI is stressing the grid. According to Wall Street Journal, it's using three New York City's worth of power. And a 43-foot tall naked Donald Trump towered over Las Vegas freeway, according to TMZ. Somebody put it up. Clearly, they didn't like him. We got a lot more on the way. A lot. Stick with us. Our partners bring you free radio. It's the folks over at Patriot Mobile. Actual cell phone service. They got the best service that you're going to find anywhere. And with Patriot Mobile, it's a reliable service. They provide the best coverage on all of the biggest three major networks. So you're getting the best service without funding the left. And you're also not funding the things that you vote against every single time you go to the ballot box either. You can get a free month of service when you sign up today using offer code Dana. You also get free activation with offer code Dana. Keep your phone, keep your number, upgrade. I mean, the choice is entirely yours. They have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team. They make it easy to switch. So why not switch today? And put the money behind your values. Vote with your dollars. And you can do that every day. And you can do it by switching to Patriot Mobile. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and get a free month of service and free activation when you use offer code Dana. Don't be fooled by the fakers out there. They just pretend to share your values. Switch today. patriotmobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
It is a busy news day indeed. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you at the bottom of this second hour. We have the debate tonight. We've been watching and giving you updates on the recovery from Hurricane Helene. And then now all hell's breaking loose in the Middle East. Some of the latest. Iran has bombed Israel. The Iron Dome shot down a bunch of the rockets. There's video going around where some people said the Iron Dome failed, but I don't think that people have a good idea of the perspective on that. A lot of that stuff fell in. A lot of it's fallen in what they call open areas or just plain desert. And so the dome doesn't intercede or intercept those rockets that go into the non-populated areas. I saw some different perspective of some video where they had them going into just the water, you know, because they're not, Hezbollah and Hamas aren't exactly the best when it comes to precision munitions. So an FYI on that. But the Iron Dome was shooting down a lot of the rockets. However, there have been parts of Tel Aviv that have been hit. There were two terrorists that opened up fire at a Tel Aviv train station in a coordinated attack just right as missiles began raining down. And there were some many injuries on that. 7 wounded, 8 people killed from that terror attack at that train station. So a lot of stuff that we're watching. And the White House says that they're monitoring the situation. I don't know what exactly that means, but they said that they're monitoring the situation. And Biden has said that as a strong warning to Iran that they would defend Israel, it's our ally, etc. But of course, you know, this is the same administration that was helping Iran. They were helping them. Remember when they unfroze a lot of that money and that sanctions relief, which they were trying to argue wasn't sanctions relieved. The IDF had detected it was they had originally. It was a detection of 100 different missiles, but then there was a report of it was like 500 missiles. But it was Iran this time that lied. They didn't use the Houthis, they didn't use Hezbollah, they didn't use Hamas, because Iran is behind all of these groups. They, in fact, did it themselves, apparently. I don't know if it's the first wave, if there's the only wave. I don't know if it's just ballistic missiles. I don't know if they have drones or any kind of cruise. I don't know what all they have. There's a lot of video and there's a lot of targets. There's a CBS had video where it looked like there were missiles approaching their targets, and it says some of them hit, but we don't know anything else about that at this point. And there were a lot of interceptions. So, and some of the stuff that you saw that was just going to the ground was just wreckage of it too. So this, but apparently the IDF says that their missiles are still coming in. Apparently the attack. It was a lot larger than it would had first initially been reported by some of these news agencies. And at least they said one missile at least got through into Tel Aviv. They reported some 400. I've seen some reports of like 500. Initially, it was 100. But now it, you know, that's what it looks like at this point. And so their guards say they've lost this. They said that if Israel retaliated, Tehran's response would be more crushing and ruinous, according to Iranian state TV. And Biden had tweeted out this morning that he and the vice president convened their national security team to discuss Iranian plans to launch an imminent missile attack against Israel. We discuss how the U.S. is prepared to help and protect American personnel. So, and the Yasser Ali had reported that the Islamic Republic of Iran, their media, and I've seen this mentioned elsewhere by BBC, that they were, the way that they're describing it is that's the first wave of the attacks. That it's the first wave. And I don't know what else that, you know, I guess there's going to be another wave. We don't know when or what, but, you know, that's, and, but a lot of the stuff that you see in the pictures of the Iron Dome shooting down, a lot of that, I want you to keep in mind, is the wreckage that's falling to the ground. Because the Iron Dome intercepted, tons of stuff. And it looks like it looks different than the missiles, and it looks like shrapnel. So just, you know, keep in mind over that. Again, like I said, you know, in one of our earlier segments, one of the things that you need to keep in mind is take a beat before you believe everything or anything that you read online right now. It's October, a month before election. We are in a very sketchy time right now. It's always like this, ever more so, especially now, lately. And we've got destabilization in the Middle East. You've got a strike that's happening that's going to just, it's going to affect us domestically. We're recovering from a major hurricane that wrecked several states. The disaster is being described as that of biblical proportions. So we're in a real sketchy period right now. So take a pause, take a beat before you immediately jump into something and believe or take it to heart what you read online. So that's, I just want to make sure that's, and don't feel overwhelmed by all this stuff. I know it's easy to, you know, give yourself a break. I do. You know, at night, I literally make it to where I'm unreachable. And I think Kane's worked with me for a long time. And he knows that, and it's different. I've practiced it different than I have previously. Like, I've implemented, like, I'm not answering any email. If you've got, even if it's sales, you got a question for me, I ain't going to respond to you. Not until the next day. You have to be very purposeful with it, especially lately. And it's not always been like this. It's just because there are forces in this world that want you to feel overwhelmed. And there's no reason why you should. Do not give people or entities your peace. That's the one thing that you owe nobody. Do not give anybody your peace. So don't feel overwhelmed, because there's always cycles of insanity, as tragic as it is and as horrible as it is. But have some perspective with it. But always take a beat before you believe everything that you read online or see online even. So we're going to keep you updated with this. So far, there haven't been any casualties reported in these rocket attacks. Now, one of the reasons why people are so nervous is, oh my gosh, is there going to be World War III? We are very far off from that. I know it's fun to say and throw it out there as clickbait and throw it out there because it gets you put up on Gravian, and your sound bites then get played everywhere. And it's great for talking heads to say stupid stuff like that and be superfluously provocative. But I don't think that it benefits anybody. And I don't think it benefits discussion at large. When you got enough hyperbole out there, you don't need to add to it. We're still a long way off from that. And again, it's a last resort, because I always believe that when your enemy forces you to choose war, there is destruction and there is no. It's indiscriminate. There are no considerations. Everything must be destroyed. That's how I look at it. You don't fight a political battle like with a military. So this is the latest that we're looking at in the Middle East. Now, we got the debate tonight. The VP debate, which I think is kind of less important in all of this stuff, because let's be real. Nobody's really making a decision on the debate so much in that you're looking at maybe who's going to be a heartbeat away from the presidency. Tim Walz got busted by the Washington Free Beacon because he lied about being in Hong Kong during the Tiananmen Square massacre when he was actually in Nebraska. Don't know why he's lying about something again. It seems like it's little, except he's lied over all kinds of stuff. And those little things, when you lie about enough little things, it shows a pattern of behavior which ends up being quite big. And the same with him. But the VP debate is tonight. And I'll be watching. We're not doing a live event, but I'll be watching, and I'll have a wrap up later for you subscribers over at Substack, over at Chapter and Verse. And then, of course, we got the strike that's happening as well on the Eastern Seaboard. So all of this stuff. I wanted to play. Do we have this? Can you play that audio soundbite for me? The don't policy. Do you guys remember what the president and vice president, what was their response? Like if Iran started acting up and getting some shenanigans under their belt, what was the response? Let's hear it. Let's hear it from her. Let's hear from the VP.
Message to Iran. As President Biden said, just don't.
Exactly. One word. Pretty straightforward.
What's the
don't. Well, they did. So now what? Now what? Biden was asked about where he was during the hurricane response. We're watching all these southern states dig up from the hurricane. Asheville, I've been reading about Asheville. Was it North Carolina? Mm-hmm. Utterly just decimated, more than decimated, more than 10%. It's just devastated. And only, what, two roads provide any kind of accessibility to the area? I read a story about a guy who had to hike almost 12 miles to reach his parents, his elderly parents, because they were completely cut off. Biden was really, he was very upset when he was asked about what did he do? Where was he at? He was at the beach all weekend for an extended beach vacation. Audio soundbite 4. This was how he responded to this. Listen.
Why weren't you and Vice President Harris here in Washington commanding this weekend?
I was commanding. I was on the phone for at least 2 hours yesterday and the day before as well. I command. Call a telephone. Is it all my security people?
Is it not important for the country to see?
It's called a telephone. You can bring phones on the beach, Jack. That's just the wrong optic. That's horrible. And then, well, I'm going to just add fuel to the fire. Audio soundbite 25. This is his response on recovery efforts.
We have rivers that are still rising. The danger is still occurring for a lot of people.
And by the way, as the FEMA can tell you, they have prepositioned an awful lot of material throughout that area from the bend all the way up into Tennessee. And so the idea that we weren't prepared, the question is, no one knew exactly how devastating it would be. We knew it would be significant, and we've got a lot already in place, but there's more. But here's the point. I'm going to be asking the American people to continue to help fund the needs of these people. It's not going to be one hit and it's over. This is going to take a hell of a long time. It's going to cost a hell of a lot of money. But this is the United States of America, and we've got to do it.
Hmm. Wow. Yeah, help fund what?
What's our tax dollars doing?
Yeah, well, I mean, isn't that why we pay so much in taxes? Isn't that why they want more in taxes for what? $1 million question. We got Florida Man on the way. And then coming up in our third hour, we're going to give you the latest on Iran versus Israel now, which it kind of always was through Hezbollah and Hamas. Where are the calls for de-escalation on that? You know, they just had the big UN event last week. Notice that Iran waited until they left the United States, left the UN event, and then they started this. We've got this strike as well, longshoreman strike. We got a lot of stuff to make sure we go over, give you the latest updates on as we move.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So a Florida man shows that he can kayak in his living room during Hurricane Helene. A Tampa Bay resident, he told a Canadian news outlet how he was able to get a kayak out. There was so much flooding in his house. I mean, it's not unusual that he got a kayak out in his living room. I mean, there's people dying, but okay. Am I being mean about this? Am I? Am I being like too cynical?
Maybe.
I might be.
Maybe.
I don't know. Now this one though, I don't know if I should feel bad for the gator. I'm real confused here because, you know, gators are everywhere, right, in Florida. And when you got hurricanes that roll through, it brings the water to you. And guess what's in the water that is brought to you?
Oh, yeah, the gator.
The gator. So one homeowner saw that an 8-foot gator was trying to get some shelter on this dude's doorstep. He was kind of moseying through several yards, just kind of rolling through. It's not entirely unusual. And then he went right up to someone's door, according to the sheriff's office. And they had to call Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation, who joked, well, the standard practice is to not answer the door when the alligator's there. Okay. And it happened right as Hurricane Helene was off of Florida's Gulf Coast. And they were thinking that, you know, the alligator knew something was coming and maybe was trying to seek some shelter or something. But it's not the first or only time. There were other alligators that showed up. In fact, people were calling Florida Fish and Wildlife saying, he's just looking at me. This gator's here and he's just looking at me. Just saying, be careful out there. Let's see. In addition to that, there's also, yeah, I know you got this one too. I don't want to get the naked Florida man. Did we have the naked Florida man who had the devil, who said he was the devil and he was naked? I think so. Can we talk about the Florida doctor who accidentally removed the wrong organs in two surgeries? Oh, God. Yeah. So this is really bad. This is a Florida doctor in Destin. The guy's medical license is now suspended, and he kind of removed the incorrect organs in, at least is the kicker, at least two surgeries.
Oh, good God.
Yeah, one, it killed one patient, and the other suffers long-term permanent harm as a result. In March of last year, the guy who survived, he's 58 years old, they took out his pancreas instead of his adrenal gland. Both procedures took place at Ascension Sacred Heart in Miramar. In Miramar, isn't that the fancy part of Florida? Isn't that a fancy area? So this is like a fancy hospital in a fancy area, right? My Floridians will tell me if I'm wrong. So they settled that on a malpractice claim. Then last month, the 70-year-old who didn't make it, his liver was removed instead of his spleen. Oh, my gosh. I am shocked. So, yeah. So they said that the formal discipline proceeding is going to take place. I would imagine a malpractice is going to happen with that guy, too. Wow. That's just, it's crazy. So, I don't know, man. I get when people say that they're nervous about going to the hospital. Stories like that don't help. And, let's see. This is, I wanted to get, a Florida man and his dog. So he and his dog were rescued off the coast in the Gulf because, and this was on Thursday, the guy had a 36-foot sailboat. It became disabled, started taking on water. It was 25 miles off of Sanibel Island. His dog had a life vest. They were in the water, sweet pup. And as Helene was approaching, I guess he was trying to get his boat in or something. He had been out, and I guess he was trying to get to land. But they said that they were actually able to get him. The Coast Guard said that his boat took on water. They were rescued. So, yay, thank you, United States Coast Guard. That was nice. A Florida man got 25 years in prison because he stole the identity of a Texas dude in a coma. 40-year-old Donald Wood pled guilty to over 20 felony charges. He stole this dude's identity back in 2021. And he took out loans for vehicles and all this stuff. And then finally, investigators started looking into it. And it was the state attorney's office in Florida. And they realized, wow, none of this stuff is adding up. And that he had been, you're looking at hundreds of thousands of dollars at this point. So they arrested the guy. He pled guilty to all these charges on the 27th. And so he's going to be going to trial. We got a lot more on the way. Third hour of a very busy news day. Stick with us. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, top of this third hour. You can find us over at Substack, Chapter and Verse Newsletter, on Channel 347 DirecTV. And you can also find us at Rumble. That's where the chat happens. So craziness. We got the strike that's looming. Well, it's here. It's actually here. Now we're going to wait and see how that affects everything from the price of like construction materials, especially when we're dealing with the aftermath of Helene. And that's the other thing. FEMA, the big government agency tasked with, you know, gets where part of our tax dollars go to, you know, FEMA. And that's the Federal Emergency Management Agency. It's part of Homeland Security. And FEMA is supposed to be there and helping people lead the agency in responding from these natural disasters. And there's been some criticism over FEMA. And I was actually shocked to see that when you look at FEMA's website, you go to FEMA.gov and you look at emergency management, they have a strategic plan that they have posted. I'm looking at the live website right now. It's a strategic plan posted. And the goal number one. Now, keep in mind, it's emergency management. They're the lead federal agency in responding to a crisis, natural disaster. Goal number one, quote, instill equity as a foundation of emergency management. I don't actually know what that means. They said that, quote, disasters impact people and communities differently. Every disaster occurs within a unique context based on a community's geographic, demographic, political, historical, and cultural characteristics. These unique contexts require tailored solutions that are designed to meet their unique needs. What? So they're saying that specific identity groups suffer disproportionately from disasters. This is Marxism that gets into emergency management. This is literally on FEMA's webpage, on their page, like on their main page under emergency management. They think that FEMA assistance can be delivered in an equitable manner. What? Now, they highlight Biden's executive order defining equity as, quote, the consistent and systematic fair, just, and impartial. That's actually the irony there, because it's not. Treatment of individuals, blah, 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 race, you know, LGBT alphabet, all that. So they say that it is the treatment without discrimination, but you literally have to use discrimination in order to be equitable. Whereas equality is the opportunity to achieve a desired outcome. Equity is the guarantee of a desired outcome, meaning that everyone is going to be shoved into the same opportunity. Some maybe will be discriminated against based upon variables which they cannot control. This is insane. And this is what we see with FEMA. I'm it'd be remiss to not mention Kamala Harris's flashback audio where she talks, audio soundbite 8, exactly about this. Listen.
It is our lowest income communities and our communities of color that are most impacted by these extreme conditions and impacted by issues that are not of their own making.
And so women.
Absolutely. And so we have to address this in a way that is about giving resources based on equity, understanding that we fight for equality, but we also need to fight for equity, understanding not everyone starts out at the same place. And if we want people to be in an equal place, sometimes we have to take into account those disparities.
So this is their racial equity community that came up with all this stuff. And I'm just amazed at this. I'm amazed at this. And this isn't the first time that they've gotten criticism before. In fact, Harris's remarks about this, wasn't this in the wake of Hurricane Ian, where she was talking about giving resources based on equity? Even you had the FEMA administrator at the time, and then DeSantis had to go out and assure people. DeSantis was like, no. People who need hurricane relief are getting hurricane relief. But it's equity over equality, and they're bringing this into, I mean, when you consider FEMA and emergency management, shouldn't the goal number one of the three goals listed on their priorities under emergency management, shouldn't the goal be like, I don't know, like emergency response? That just seems, I mean, I just, that's just kind of what I think of it. Shouldn't it just be that? I mean, you're building this Marxist nonsense into our federal agencies that respond to emergencies. This is insane. Equity requires discrimination to carry out, because like I said, it is guaranteeing an outcome, whereas equality is guaranteeing an equal opportunity. Equity is guaranteeing an equal outcome. Very different. That means discrimination is required for an equitable outcome. And it's an equitable outcome regardless of how much work someone puts into it. It's Marxist at its very core. It's truly wild. But this is, I mean, where we're looking at. This is what it is. This is where we're at. Oh, my goodness. Now, we have the strike as well that's been taking place. The longshoremen strike. We talked about that in our first hour. The ILA and the United States Maritime Alliance, they represent these dock workers at these 36 seaports that could be affected by the strike. They're at an impasse because the union is demanding a ban, a full ban on any and all automation at its ports. They want a 77% pay increase, and they want a percentage of the cargo of the what comes in on containers, I guess. Well, they rejected a 50% pay increase previously. And we went over, you should go back and you need to listen to our first hour, because Daggett, the guy who's the head of the dock workers union, that man makes over $1 million. Not only does he make over $1 million, he's all kitted out in his gold chains and he's got gold nuggets on his hands. Both his kids, both his sons, grown men, they got a whole nice little nest set up for the Daggetts. Man, both those boys are making over $500,000. They all got titles in the union. This one's an administrator, this one. This one's a manager over here. They're all set up. I mean, they can do this kind of stuff. They can, you know, they can. And we played Daggett saying, I want to get just the end of that soundbite if we can. Because he was saying, oh, we're going to cripple you. And I just thought the chain and the nugget ring were a nice touch. But read the room. I mean, we're coming up against a natural disaster. We're recovering from this. They said it's biblical proportions. Listen to what he's saying here. This is a flashback, what he's talking about now. Listen.
Salaries, well, they went from 30 moves an hour maybe to 8. They're going to be like this. Who's going to win here in the long run? You're better off sitting down and let's get a contract and let's move on with this world. And in today's world, I'll cripple you. I will cripple you. And you have no idea what that means.
Interesting. I don't know. I think that some of the families in some of these states that are affected by this are already crippled by the hurricane that rolled through. You got entire towns that are utterly destroyed. Utterly destroyed. You want to know what some of this stuff is? Because I was telling you about how much construction material comes in. Wood. I was actually shocked. Yes, I agree with the people out there who are arguing that, you know, this is why we should have more domestic. That's not an argument over whether or not we all agree on manufacturing here in the United States of America. The argument is, until we get to that point, does this help? What about the workers, the construction workers? What about steel workers? What about automobile workers? What about workers at a lot of these factories, a lot of these plants out there? They're going to be crippled because all of their stuff is affected by all of this. That's the thing. What about the average American person dealing with Biden inflation? This is crazy. 36 ports, Maine to Texas. It's going to be billions of dollars. For every one day that it's non-operable, that's 7 days we're put behind. I mean, everything from coffee particularly, fruit. If you're doing any kind of Christmas shopping, that's pretty crazy. All because they were going to get 50%, they said no. They want a 77%, so they want wages to go from $81,000 to $143,000. That's a lot. And a ban on all automation. No automation at all whatsoever, which is going to put us, the United States, behind everybody else because they're already working in automation. You know, the smart thing to do would be to figure out how do you integrate jobs and start with automation assist before moving technologically forward while continuing to integrate those jobs. But no, we're dumbasses and we're going to do it the dumbass way. And we're going to sit here and ban automation and fall behind further globally. Something else. No, everything. There's going to be major effects on shoppers too. Major. Everything. Walmart, Home Depot, Amazon. And you're going to look at, you're going to see empty shelves. You're going to see high prices. It's been said that it's going to be typically what it was like at the peak of pandemic when everybody was locked in. It's gonna be very similar to that. The ports affected by the strike handle almost 4 million metric tons of bananas, 75% of our nation's supply. Dates, figs, pineapples, avocados, 80% of fruit juices. And European manufacturers are going to be hit real hard. Lego. Lego comes in primarily on the eastern ports. You're going to see lots of stuff. And railroads are going to try to carry more freight from the west coast, but they're not going to be able to move fast enough. JP Morgan estimates it's going to be about $3.8 billion to $4.5 billion per day. So that's what we're looking at. Now, some have been asking, all right, what about Taft-Hartley Act? You got an 80-day cooling off period with that. Daggett didn't even get the number right. He's like, I got a 90-day cooling off. No, you got an 80-day cooling off period. Look, I'm all about asking for what you're worth and negotiating and all that stuff. But one of the big problems that I got with this is I really don't feel like a lot of these union bosses represent the little guys that work for them. They started out as little guys that became big guys that engaged in the same game of oppression that people that they criticized from the start. And I say this with full authority of growing up in, you know, a Southern Missouri family that worked in unions. I saw all this stuff. I know all these cats. I know all this stuff. I grew up with it. I saw it. And honestly, there's one of the reasons why. Who was the big, what was it, Teamsters, Kane? The last big union, they went out and they endorsed Trump. The union members voted for him. But the bosses were like, no, we're going to back Biden. Or no, they're not going to do anything. Right. I mean, because they can't just ignore the members, but they're not going to do what the members want. No one's contesting the hard work of the workers. We're looking at these fat cat bosses out there. I had some moron telling me online, well, you know, don't these the union bosses are out there making sure that the workers who work through lockdown and risked their lives during the pandemic get what's theirs. I'm like, shut up. I'm not buying into your big pharma nonsense over the woo flu, number one. Number two, there were lots of people that were out there working through the lockdown, and they're not asking and demanding a 77% increase, a ban on automation, which is going to hurt America and other American workers and overall hurt you. Put us behind everybody else, all these other foreign countries globally. And demanding a cut of the cargo coming in. What? Like I said, that's not a service. That's a stick up. You got it. Look, there's a saying that my grandpa always said, always had, an old saying. And I've heard it. I know other people have heard it. My grandpa always would say, pigs get fed, hogs get slaughtered. Do you want to be a pig or a hog?
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Okay, so we're trying to figure out the rule of three because Lorraine brought it up. John Amos, who was on Good Times, he's the actor on Good Times. He was the dad in Coming to America. That's right. He has passed away natural causes in L.A., according to his son, 84 years old, via The Hollywood Reporter. So we just lost
Pete Rose. John Ashton, who was on Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah. But you also have Dame Maggie Smith. Wait, literally just like the other day.
You didn't count her yesterday?
No, I did. I've been counting her. I was like, okay. I was like, John Amos makes it three. But then Lorraine's like, no, we also have John Ashton. Well, then that starts it all off again.
It does, doesn't it?
So now there's two more that are going to die.
Oh, God.
That's just my grandma's rule of threes. Three celebrities got to die in a time because death comes in threes because he just likes to be efficient. I don't know. That was her rule. That I just don't ask questions. Granny Boots, we called her Boots. Boots, that's Boots' rule. That's how it is. So this makes... Oh my gosh, yeah. So, John Amos. All right, so not Stamos, Amos. Drop the... Yeah, you got to be careful with that. Oh my gosh, am I really out of the time? I went really, really long. I was also going to get into... we got Tropical Storm Kurt. We also have Register Your Chickens in the UK. President Carter's on her birthday. Stick with us.
Not able to catch all 3 hours of The Dana Show? Subscribe to the full podcast and get news and laughs delivered in short, easy-to-digest episodes. Ideal for your busy lifestyle on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome back to the radio program. Dana Lash with you. You also have the simulcast of said radio program here on Channel 3047 DirecTV Rumble, where the discussion always happens, and also on X. And find us on Substack. Go and sign up, subscribe. I don't sell your info. It's legit just me. And get out the newsletter every single day. So we got the Middle East pushed to like the brink of an all-out war. Iran has struck Israel. Israel, they threatened Israel, saying, if you respond, we're going to get crazier. And I don't know. Lorraine reminded me, I got to go back to this. See, this is why I like peace through strength. Where's this at? She reminded me of Trump's tweet. Hold up. I'm going, okay. Sorry, this is funny. I can't read. You know how like when you read something that he tweets, you can't read it in like a normal, like your inner voice. It's his voice, right? I can't do his voice, so I'm not going to try. But he wrote this on 2018, January 2nd, quote, North Korean leader Kim Jong-un just stated that the, quote, nuclear button is on his desk at all times, end quote. Will someone from his depleted and food-starved regime please inform him that I, too, have a nuclear button, but it is a much bigger and more powerful one than his, and my button works. He got so much garbage for that. That's actually my favorite tweet of his, is that one.
He also, to Iranian President Rouhani.
Oh, read that one. Yeah. Give me that one.
He was like, never, ever threaten the United States again, or you will suffer consequences, the likes of which few throughout history have ever suffered before. We are no longer a country that will stand for your demented words of violence and death. Be cautious.
Be cautious. See, that sounds like a lot more than just don't. I mean, I couldn't tell if Biden burped that or if that was a response. Well, what's your response? Don't. Yeah, do it.
Wonder, what is your message to Hezbollah and its backer, Iran?
Don't. Don't, don't, don't.
Don't.
Don't come across the border. Don't escalate this war.
That's right.
Don't. I think my response, see, you cannot have me as ever. I cannot ever occupy that office because it would be, my response would be horrifying. That's so lame what he just said. Don't. Because you know what? What I want to do? Like, if there's a line here, I want to be like, yeah. Just tiptoe over it. And I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. That's all. I'm telling you. So that's, we're watching all of that. And then we got the strike. And then we've got the, good heavens, the, just the recovery from Helene. It is wild. Asheville, North Carolina, some of the stuff, it's just horrible. So there's all kinds of, we got the debate tonight too, the VP debate tonight. There's a lot of stuff. And it's apparently going to be super messy. Democrats are said to be a little concerned politically. Or Politico said, Democrats privately worry how Waltz will fare against Vance in the VP debate. You mean the guy whose wife was like, I loved keeping my windows open when all them people was out there writing. I love the smell of them burning tires and the destruction of people's businesses, dreams, joys, and livelihood. I love to have that scent just waft through my home as I kept my windows open. I mean, she didn't say all of that, but that was like the general sentiment. Kind of what she said, right? And then she talks to everybody like they're kids. I can't stand when people do that. When grown adults talk to other adults like they're kids, I just start getting rowdy. I just can't deal. So I don't know, but they said they're supposed to be a little worried in the debate tonight about the debate tonight. They're a little worried. By the way, speaking of worried, Kamala Harris would not take any questions on the botched hurricane response as the press was forced out of her little FEMA briefing, the little staged briefing. Watch this or listen. All right,
Madam Vice President,
they were forced out. She's up there pretending that she's being president. Good heavens. So, I don't know. I can see why Democrats would be a little worried. By the way, speaking of the debate tonight, Hold up. This is audio soundbite here to 16. So Washington Free Beacon just totally destroyed him with this piece because he lied about being in Hong Kong. Who lies about that? Who's like, yeah, I was in Hong Kong during the Tiananmen Square massacre. Listen to this.
As a young man, I was just going and going to teach high school in Fosun in Guangdong, and was in Hong Kong in May of 89. And as the events were unfolding, several of us went in, and I still remember the train station in Hong Kong. It was a large number, especially European, I think, very angry that we would still go after what had happened. But it was my belief at that time that the diplomacy was going to happen on many levels.
And he lied about this.
People to people, and the opportunity.
He completely lied his backside off about this. So he actually was like in Nebraska. Who lies about something like that? This is, I mean, that's why he's so weird, because you lie about the goofiest little thing. He lies about that. Why would you lie? What consequence does that have if he's not there? And he's just honest about, well, I wasn't there, but I. This is why Democrats are worried. They're worried about this debate. A lot's on the line. Here's one thing to watch out for, too. I was looking back and reading about Reagan and the air traffic controllers. And you remember when all that happened? Well, some of you may not, if you're Zoomers. I think, what year was this? This was in, yeah, I was like a toddler. But he had fired the air traffic controllers. There were 11,000 of them. They were striking. And they were,
81.
Is it 81? Oh my gosh, yeah, I was like 81. Not barely a toddler. Reagan stood against them. He stood against all of that. And he replaced them. I mean, and of course, this is like what, Cold War period. And there was, I mean, it was probably one of his more, I think, important political domestic moves. And so he understood strikes and all that, because wasn't he president of Screen Actors Guild? I thought it was, because he came out of Hollywood. I think he led SAG, Screen Actors Guild. That's like the union for the actors and all that. So he knew what it was to strike. He knew all of that. And he knew, you know, for the right to strike. So you had the air traffic controllers. It was the Professional Air Traffic Controllers Organization, or PATCO. And they actually, in the beginning, weren't, I think, they were one of the few who actually, of the unions, who actually supported him when he was running for president. And so when they had asked, they wanted a raise, and he was going to work with them because they had had a good relationship. So he offered, I think the original offer was like, what, 11%? And that was during a time when they were doing budget cuts, but they wanted a 100% raise. And they knew that if they carried out a strike, that it would paralyze the American economy. And then you also had national security, because you had, you know, the Cold War and the with the Soviets and everything else. This is before the Berlin Wall fell. And so everybody was watching Reagan face off against these air traffic controllers, right, or PATCO. And he made it clear, he was like, you know, you're a critical federal employee, you're not allowed to strike. And he was like, he would not negotiate or deal with an illegal strike. And they thought he was just BSing them. PATCO thought, well, you know, he's saying that he's not going to blink. He's bluffing. He's going to blink. So we're going to force his hand. And something like, not all, it wasn't all of them, but a huge percentage of them walked out. And so he fired him. He went at it and fired him. And that kind of, the repercussions for that went on for years about how people dealt with that. Everybody was watching. They thought he was going to buckle under pressure. They thought Reagan would crumple under pressure, but he thought it was necessary, and he thought it was a necessary position to take. He was like, a 100% raise is out of line. And, you know, he wasn't the only one who thought that. Everybody else like folded when in Canada, they shut down Gander Airport, and they folded. The French folded. The Brits didn't. But, and Reagan actually worked with Teddy Kennedy at the time. You believe that? Teddy Kennedy actually worked with Reagan and AFL-CIO to try to make it not a partisan issue. Is that not crazy? They all thought that it was nuts what PACA was asking for. That was before everything was so tribal. But he stood against that. He stood against the pushing. He held his ground and he didn't move. And he was not going to be dealt with belligerently. He just held the line and he won. So now everyone's like, all right, so what would Reagan do now? I think Reagan would probably, it'd probably be similar, I would think. I mean, they illegally had walked off the job, and it's a little bit different than what you're looking at with the longshoremen, but look at the longshoremen. You know, you got this union boss out there. How many, what is it, like $80,000? These guys are making $81,000. And they, and the union boss, who makes over $1 million, he's demanding a 77% pay increase, a ban on full automation, no automation at all whatsoever, which is actually different from some of the other ports that we have here in the U.S. And I want to add that the longshoremen strike is East Coast. The ones on the West Coast, they have a different union. They struck a different contract a year ago. And they wanted a percentage of the containers. I think at some point, like I said, pigs get fed, hogs get slaughtered. It's rhetorical for the people who read with pictures and think everything is so literal. Populism can go too far because now we're going to be in a standoff with a populist ideology. Populism is a tactic. It is not a set of principles. One of the dumbest things that I've seen happen to the movement on the right is think that populism is a set of beliefs, much in the same way that conservatism is. Conservatism is all about conserving the individual against the reaches of big government. Populism is a tactic that is used to deliver a message. Right and left can use populism. Some of the worst tyrants in the world that are not aligned with you used populist rhetoric. Anybody can use it. Too much salt ruins food. Too much populism ruins a movement. Now we're in a face-off. We had AFL. Was it Teamsters or AFL? Was it Teamsters who spoke at the RNC?
Yes.
I think it was.
Yes.
And I actually was more put off by what that dude said in his message than I was by the slut walk lady who spoke, Amber Rose. You got to be real careful with this because you don't want to get Republicans in a position where, oh, well, you've paid too much lip service and you tried to compete with Democrats using their own rhetoric on their own ground instead of standing strong for limited government and making the sale that a rising tide raises all ships. You don't want to get into a point where you can't move and you limit the amount of responses you have because of everything that you did, all the deals you cut to get there. Are there any Republicans that can stand up to this? Because this is going to be just as devastating to the economy, depending on how long it goes. And for what? You got a union, this boss up there makes over $1 million. All his kids are set up for life. All his kids got swanky titles, swanky paychecks. Meanwhile, it's on the backs of the workers that are making a little over $80,000. I believe that everybody gets paid what they're owed, but at the same time, some of these bosses, I think, again, goes down to pigs and hogs. Are they really best representing these workers? And especially a full-on ban on automation? That's unrealistic. You're going to put the United States behind everybody. And you're going to kill all the other workers, all the other blue-collar workers that rely on all these goods that come in. You're going to make it even harder for us to be more domestically independent when it comes to manufacturing. We'll talk more about this as the week goes on, depending on how long this goes on, but this is where it gets into a kind of a lesson on you got to be careful about too much populism. Because I don't know what Republicans would stand up to this in the way that Reagan did. Reagan was like, go pound sand. What Republican would stand up and be like, hey, Daggert, pigs get fed, hogs get slaughtered, rhetorically. Todd, you're a little over your skis here. Come on, dude. Let's be more realistic. Can't have full on. You can't ban this. You can't do all. You can't have all this. Come on.
I can see Trump doing that.
Would he?
I think I can see him do it.
I don't know. I don't know if I see any Republican doing it, if I'm being honest. I really don't. Because I think some of these Republicans have been dancing a little bit too close to this populist Marxism in order to compete with Democrats for blue collar workers instead of being like, look, our policies are the best. Never water down your principles or your policies because they sell good on their own.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome back to the program. Okay, so with the time we have left, real quick, Lorraine says the power of three, the deaths in threes that my grandma has rule is satisfied. Pete Rose, John Ashton, John Amos, because Kris Kristofferson, Dame Maggie Smith, and Mutombo, Dikembe Mutombo, are all in one group of three. And then before that, it's James Earl Jones, Chad McQueen, and Tito Jackson. They're in a three. And then it's Bob Newhart, the godfather of the British blues, Mayall, and then Phil Donahue in a three. And then before that, it's Doherty, Dobbs, and Simmons in a three. So she's right. We're done. No one else die, so we don't have to do this again. Thank you, Lorraine, for counting the dead people. All right.
All right.
It what is do we got?
So stupid what I saw yesterday. KJP was asked by Ducey. This is cut 1-1. Why don't we just go ahead and play this, because it's unreal what she says, and then I have a little follow-up.
13,000 people who have been convicted of murder cross the border illegally and are living among us. So how much danger are U.S. communities in right now because of this?
I'm assuming you're talking about the ICE data.
Yes.
So just a couple of things, and I think it's important to correct the record here.
What? Correct what?
First of all, the false representation of the data.
No, there's no false representation of the data. I wish we had time for her follow-up, but...
We'll have to save that for tomorrow.
Yes.
It's one of them days, though. We got the debate tonight. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter, Substack, Chapter and Verse. I will recap it tomorrow. Have a great night. Back with you behind the mic tomorrow.